Hello, everyone. This is Clarissa Bell, and welcome to my free weekly teleclass. And in this teleclass, I will be doing a short discussion on a topic designed to expand our consciousness and awareness. And I will be doing a teaching on the science of the cards, also known as cardology. And then last, I will be giving many readings to those in the class who'd like them. But as always, I'm going to start off with a prayer to anchor us into the energy. So just closing your eyes and just becoming aware of your breathing and just relaxing within and taking these words. We ask for support in consciousness in assisting us in awakening and opening our hearts and inspiring and empowering us to experience the truth about ourselves. We ask for support in feeling our connection with the essence of everyone and everything in the universe at all times so that we can truly know and feel we are one. And so it is. So today's topic is going to be follow your excitement, follow your joy, follow your passion. We've all heard this term before, but what does that really mean in practical terms? Well, I am going to endeavor to give you some practical steps on how to actually begin to follow your joy from moment to moment, day to day. Okay, so first, what you need to understand is that when you really understand what excitement really is, you'll realize that you don't always have to know in every single moment, you know, what you need to know in order to take action on your joy. So when we talk about the idea of following your joy, we're really talking about the idea of acting on your joy in every given moment on anything. A lot of people think, oh, it's, you know, I need to know what my joy is in my career so I can know what my work is in the world or what my purpose is in the world. But what we're talking about here is acting on what excites you from moment to moment and from day to day. And actually, it's all connected. And as I kind of go over this, you'll kind of get an idea of how it's all connected. It's connected to through the joy. Okay, so but here are some practical steps on how to follow your joy, your passion, your excitement. So you want to look around you and look at all the options that you have available to you of the things that you could choose to do that you actually have the ability to take action on. And it could be anything. It could be taking a walk, going for a drive, calling a friend, playing with the pet, shopping, paying bills, going to work. It could be anything. So you look around at any of these options, okay, and you see what's available to you, that choices that you have to do that you can take action on. And then out of all of these options, you want to choose the one that feels the most joyful to you, and you want to do that. That's the thing to do. You don't need a reason why. You're going to do it because it's the most exciting thing for you to do. And it's the excitement that tells you that that's the next thing to do, okay? So those are the practical steps. So you look at the options, what's available to you that you could choose to do, that you have the ability to take action on, and then you choose the one that's the most joyful, exciting to you, and you do that just because it's the most exciting thing. You don't need a reason, okay? So now here's another level to this. It's the excitement and the simple things that tells you what simple things are actually connected to the, quote, bigger things that excite you. So following your joy on the simple things from moment to moment will actually get you to the, quote, bigger things in what may seem like a roundabout way, but it's actually the shortest, fastest, straightest path, okay? So in every moment, simply choose the thing that excites you the most. Out of all the things that are available to you to do that you actually have the best ability to take action on, you want to do that thing, okay? And then when you take action on that and you can take action no further on that, then look around for the next most exciting thing to do that you have the greatest ability to take action on and then do that. Whatever it is, even if it doesn't seem like it's connected to anything else, you want to do it because it's the excitement that tells you it is connected to, you know, your next highest path, okay? So you want that passion, you want that joy and that excitement. what you translate as that feeling of excitement and of love and passion is the vibration of your true natural self in the way that you were actually originally created. So that's why following your joy is always a beacon to move you forward. Every time you're willing to take a step towards your joy and your excitement by acting on it, on that situation that contains the most joy, anytime you're willing to do that without cluttering it up with other things that are not a part of that, you're actually moving towards more and more of your true self, okay? So that's why following your passion is actually the shortest route, because it's tuning in to the vibration of your true self, and when you take action on your joy, you're really aligning with your true self. And that will actually get you where you need to go quicker than anything, okay? So now one thing you need to recognize here is that in the process of doing this, some things may come up that you may say, oh, well, that's not very joyful, or, you know, I'm confused about this. So you don't want to deny them. What you want to do is recognize that they're there for a reason. And this is the idea of what we've been talking about since the class began 6 weeks ago, is these ideas of negative identities and resistances and et cetera. So you don't want to deny them. You want to know that they're there because in the process of following your joy, if anything unlike joy comes up, they're there for us to understand what information life is giving us. And we can then process that information, and then this information tells us more about ourselves. And in learning more about ourselves, and in doing whatever work we need to do to process that out, we learn more about ourselves, and we can continue to act more and more than every day and every moment on our joy. So it's follow your joy. Things will often come up, because when we're following our joy, we're really expanding. And the more we expand, we actually begin to bump up against certain limits and limitations, and really which are beliefs and identities. And we bump up against this, and that is the indication, okay, it's time to recognize this belief or this pattern that I've been living in. And since it's there, that means I have the ability to actually do whatever work needs to be done to remove that obstacle, and then I learn more about myself, I become more myself, and then I can expand out to the next level, and then I keep following my joy, and then I may bump up against something. So this is all part of a process, okay? And once you get into the habit of following your joy, you will sensitize yourself to the idea of excitement. You'll become a better sensor for yourself for what excites you and what doesn't. And then when in this sense, then you won't be creating so many other things to consider before you simply are willing to take action on your excitement. You just begin to become more fine-tuned to what is joyful to you, and then you'll spend less time wondering, and you'll be able to act on that more often or quicker. Okay, because when you act on your excitement to the best of your ability in every moment, you begin to experience all kinds of synchronicity, okay? And you experience synchronistically the exciting thing that you're doing actually contains, you know, everything that you need to be considering from moment to moment. And you'll begin to know that whatever it doesn't contain, you don't need to be doing or you don't need to be considering, okay? And in addition, you'll begin to understand that excitement is its own sort of self-contained kit and its own driving engine. It's a self-contained kit that always perpetuates more of the same, so more excitement, more joy, more passion. And it brings with it everything, all the things that are actually important for you to know or important for you to look at in the process of being able to continue to expand your joy and expand your excitement. And what doesn't come with it isn't part of it. You could say it isn't part of this kit, and therefore, you know, you don't have any reason to be taking your time with doing anything that's not a part of it, okay? So this is how following your joy and excitement works. And the more you trust it, the more you live it, the more you will see that this is the case. It will prove itself to you. But you have to actually take the first step. You actually have to trust that by following your joy, it's going to lead you to your next highest joy, and that everything that you need will be contained within you following your joy. So you kind of have to move yourself from your mental mind and not think logically, but you just have to trust that the joy is actually is like its own intelligence. And as I said, it's its own self-contained kit, and it will provide all the things that you're going to need to move to your next step. Okay, and I'll just give you an example from my own life of how I did this. Well, so I'm teaching about the science of the cards. Well, I've been studying this for almost 3 years, and there was a point where all I wanted to do was really study the cards, and I took a bunch of lessons, and I would listen to this radio show that gave every week where the man did readings for people, and I would just really learn a lot from it, and I would download the calls, and I would listen to them over again. It was like I would say to myself, oh, I feel like I'm becoming obsessed with this. But I was remembering, okay, so follow your joy. And because it didn't seem like it was really connected to what I was planning to do for a life career. I was in a mastery program and doing some other things, and this seemed like it didn't fit in. But I just remembered about how to follow my joy, and I just let myself think those things, but I didn't pay attention to them. I just trusted, okay, well, this is what I most want to do in this moment, and I would just do that, as well as with other things. But I really spent a lot of time studying, and lo and behold, here I am now. I had this idea to do this class and include teaching, and I'm doing it, and I'm really loving it because it's joyful to me. And I'm also doing other things. You know, I'm doing the topics, and actually what's happening is I'm finding a way to integrate both of them. So that's just a short example from my own life of how just following my joy led to other things and led to this class. And everything that I've needed to do this has appeared, and everything I've needed actually in my life has appeared, because the joy actually is going to contain everything that you need for every area of your life. Whatever needs to be done, it's going to have that. So I think people have this idea that, oh, if I follow my joy, and it looks like it's not connected to, say, paying the bills or bringing in money or this other thing I'm doing, that somehow it's not the right thing to do. But I can say from my own experience that following the joy always leads us to all the steps that need to be taken for our lives to just become more joyful, and that includes every area of our life. Okay, so what we're really talking about here is pure, simple physics, okay? It's like what we put out, we get back. So the more we demonstrate in our behavior to the universe that we're willing to believe that what excites us the most is what we're all about, then the more the universe will reflect more of that back to us, okay? Pure physics, okay? What you put out, you get back. But, okay, along the way, here's another aspect of this that's really important to understand, okay? I can't tell you how, you know, when I really understood this aspect of it, it just really helped me so much. Okay, so when you start acting on your joy, don't assume immediately, like, don't have this immediate expectation that you must see things on the outside change, okay? Now, things can change, and they often will, and very rapidly, because, of course, when you change your vibration, you know, the outside will change, because the outside is just a mirror. However, this is what's really important to understand. If it doesn't immediately change, don't automatically assume that you've done something wrong or that you're not doing it, quote, right. Just don't assume you're not seeing a representation of your joy. You must understand that every single thing in our physical reality, every situation, every person, every circumstance serves really as double duty. They're really neutral props. They have no inherent built-in meaning. We actually give them the meaning, okay? So it's important to understand that what you're seeing reflected out serves different meanings, okay? And that they're really neutral props. So let's say you're following your joy, So when you're following your joy, especially when you're beginning and when this is beginning and you're really starting to do something different than what you had before, when you're following your joy, you might still see the very same situation, the very same scenario manifesting all around you, okay? But here's the point. The difference that lets you know that there is a difference is that you respond differently to it than you did before. Not that the situation looks different. It's that you act differently toward it than you did before. And it's that lets you know that your reality has actually changed, okay? Because no matter what it looks like, you're now only going to get a positive effect because you're actually giving it the meaning. No matter what anyone else's intention is in that scenario may be towards you or anything else, the only effect you will get is the meaning that you give it. Even if it looks the same it did a moment ago, now you're giving it a different meaning, so now you're having a different response within yourself. And so that's how you actually know you changed, okay? Here you got the same scenario, and now you're actually experiencing and responding to it differently. And it's that lets you know you change. And it's actually a way in which when we shift our identities and when we shift into new behaviors, it's, you know, oftentimes the same situation will occur because it's given us the opportunity to see that we actually have change within ourselves because we're actually doing something different with the same scenario. And it's as if this new way of being is now being solidified, okay? It's like it's becoming, the muscle is being sort of worked. So that's how you know it's different. So that's a very, very important point to remember about all this, especially when you're really in the middle of transitioning and transforming patterns and identities. And I'll give you an example of this from my own life. Okay, so I began this teleclass June 22nd. Well, let's see, the first week of June, one of my sisters, she has a seizure disorder, and she began to have continuous seizures and ended up in the hospital for 2.5 weeks, and it turns out she had a mild stroke, okay? The following week, I have two brothers. One of my brothers went on a trip on a cruise, and on the last day, he hurt himself really badly. He hurt his leg. And he couldn't even walk off the ship. He kind of had to be rolled in a wheelchair. But, you know, thankfully he is alive and well. But so he couldn't walk. And so now here I have my sister who is in the hospital with a mild stroke. I have a brother who can't walk. And also in the middle of this, we had to put down a cat. My oldest sister went to work in Europe and brought down two cats. There was all kinds of mayhem, and I already had two cats, so there was all kinds of mayhem in our household with trying to integrate these two cats. And then one of her cats was really old. We had to put it down. And then the other cat promptly got sick. We had to take it to the vet and spent something like $1,300 on the vet. And then all at the same time, our air conditioner broke. Now, we live in Miami, Florida, where it's 90 degrees, so we can't really live without the AC, you know, very well. So we needed it. Pop, $1,600 to fix that. So my brothers can't walk, so I'm having to take him food. My sister also has damage on her right side, and they're both going to rehab, and they're both recovering very nicely. I just want everybody to know. But I'm just painting a scenario of what was going on at the time that I was preparing to launch this teleclass. Okay, so this is where it was different. So here is all this stuff going on. In the past, I would have just taken that. I would have made the meaning that, oh, that means, you know, this isn't the right time to be doing my teleclass, and all these things are going on. If all these things are going on, and that's some indication of somehow my inability to have a good life or to control life. Well, that was the old me. That was the way I used to think and make meaning of things. But because I've been, you know, working with identities and transforming them, I knew that it was up to me. I was making that meaning then, and I knew that I could make an empowered meaning. I used to make disempowering meanings of events before, but I knew now how to make empowering meanings of events. And I just would, when emotion would come up in me, I would identify the identity, I would do work on it, and I would tell a deeper truth about it. And then I would make positive meaning out of it. And so I just put one foot in front of the other. It brought me joy. I knew it would be joyful to do the teleclass, and I just decided to act on that joy. I had the ability to act on it. I had all of the parameters I needed to do it. I have a computer. I have a phone. I had free conferencing. I had email. I knew the material, and I knew that I could learn whatever it is I needed to learn. So I had everything that I needed to do it. It was just a matter of, was I going to act on my joy? Despite everything that was going on, was I going to do that? And what kind of meaning was I going to make from these things that were happening? I could take this scenario and make, you know, all kinds of negative meaning from it, but I didn't. And so I kind of chuckle inside sometimes, because I think, well, maybe a part of me just created all that just to show myself that I have actually shifted and changed. And so that's an example from my life. And everything now really has kind of resolved itself. My brother's getting better. He can walk and drive now. My sister's going to rehab. She's getting better. AC's fixed. Cat is better. Things are just generally much more calm. So, you know, life goes in ebbs and flows. There are times when, you know, things happen, and when there's a lot going on, there are times when things are calmer. So, and all of that to say, I chose to step forward and follow my joy, and here I am talking to you today and doing this class, which is very joyful for me. I look forward to doing it every week. So that's an example from my life. So that's really the lesson on following your joy. And the practical steps, again, are you look around you at all the options available to you, the things that you could choose to do that you have the ability to take action on, okay? And then out of all of those options, you choose the one that feels the most joyful, and you do that because it is the most joyful thing, okay? And you know by the joy that it's connected to every other thing. And you know by the joy, even if it's a very simple thing like taking a walk, you know that it is going to lead you to the next joyful thing and the next joyful thing. And it's all connected because the joy is what connects everything, okay? So those are the practical steps to take, okay? And if something comes up to be worked with, well, you have the tools and the skills to work with that. And then you make your choice to do the next most exciting thing. And oh, one other thing I want to say about this is I think sometimes people say, well, if I just follow my joy, I won't be doing anything, you know, like maybe chores or paying a bill. Well, I just want to say that I've had quite a number of occasions when I've had, like, some, you know, practical life tasks that I needed to do, like pay a bill or go to the store or you know, anything like that. And I won't feel like doing it because in that moment it's not the most joyful thing to me. Well, when I just choose to do the thing that's most joyful to me, then somehow eventually it always comes to, I come back around to then at some point the next most joyful thing for me to do is to pay that bill. Or the next most joyful thing for me to do is to do the laundry. So I'm just saying, again, if you really trust that the joy is its own self-contained kitten and there's everything that you need in that, you know, for your life, for every aspect of your life, then whatever needs to get done will get done in actually the most efficient and loving and fun way, okay? So that is my last word on following your joy and excitement. I hope you have really enjoyed this talk. I have enjoyed it because it's my favorite subject. Okay, and this week I kind of thought, you know, it'd be great to do a break, you know, because I've been doing classes on negative identities and resistance and the creation of bad. And I am going to continue with that series next week. But it was my joy to do this topic, so I followed it and I did it. So there is another example. Okay, so that ends the discussion on following your joy. And, of course, you know, you'll be able to download this and really listen to it again. So we're just going to switch gears here and go into science of the cards. Okay. So, the science of the cards is an ancient system believed to have dated back to Atlantis. And it really is an amazing system. I think it took me a while to kind of really understand it. Not to understand it, because it really is easy to learn, but I think it took a while for me to connect in my mind. Oh, because it seems like, okay, you got it. This is like a system for which our common deck of cards was created, and it seems like, wow, what does playing cards have to do with, you know, being able to help you unfold your destiny? I mean, it just seems so interesting that way. But, you know, one of the things I really discovered and I'm really, continuing to discover about life is like can be a really big, cosmic joke, you know. I mean, sometimes the things that really where you get the most profound things can be in ways and from things that just seem like so different and interesting. So anyway, when I really just let go of that and I really began to explore it, I was just so amazed, and I'm continued to be amazed because I kind of study the cards in my own life and in, you know, the life of people around me and my family and my friends, and I'm just always continually amazed at this system known as cardology. So anyway, so how does cardology work? Well, it's every day of our year is governed by planetary energies, you know. So at any given moment, there are planetary energies that correspond to what's happening on our planet, okay? And so for each day, each day is ruled by one of the 52 cards of the of this deck, okay? And that's called the birth card. And each of the cards actually represents certain things, okay? And you could say your birth card represents your soul's primary symbol for this lifetime, okay? And within each card, given the number and the suit, they mean different things. And they have different karmic packages or different elements or characteristics to them. There are certain negative and positive traits and gifts and abilities and challenges that we came in. So you could say whatever day we choose to be born, we're actually choosing to work through certain patterns and to come in with certain gifts. And to really, it's what our soul really wants to do in this lifetime. And then there's a second primary card, which is called the planetary ruling card. And that card is really the way that we express what we came in here to do. So the birth card is what we're doing here, what we came here to do. And the planetary ruling card is always a card that's in our life path. And it's the card in the life path that represents how we most are going to express, you know, ourselves in this lifetime and how we're most going to express or fulfill what we came here to do, okay? And each card also has two karma cards, and those karma cards mean certain things and give you a certain amount of information. So once I know somebody's birthday, I know what their birth card is, I know what their planetary ruling card, and this gives me quite a bit of information about them and what they're here to do. Not the details, but just a general kind of picture of what they're doing here, and the planetary ruling card tells me, you know, how they like to express themselves. So that's the basics of the card system. And so it's really a system of self-understanding, because once you really can understand the details of the birth and the ruling card and the karma cards and the life path, you really do have a good idea of a better understanding of yourself. Or I should say, it just really confirms, because I think we know on the deeper level what we're doing here, okay? And then the other great thing about this system is that it's actually a system, this is where the unfolding your destiny comes in, because it's actually a system that has a record of energies that are present every year of your life, up to from 0 to 90, and then after 90 it just repeats from the year you were born again. And actually, so every year you can look at the energies that are present, and just knowing what energies are present, it helps you kind of harmonize yourself with forces that are actually in play. And when you learn how to harmonize and align yourself with them, you don't fight things that are happening. You begin to go, okay, I don't have to fight this thing that's happening. Like, for instance, I think I used this example before, but it bears repeating again, about my nephew who I was displacing his card in one of my spreads. And when you displace a card, it means you have to pay attention to that card. It's like you're living in that person's house, and you have to kind of like, in some ways, you know, pay them rent. That's just like a metaphor. But it's like you have to pay attention to that and do that thing. Well, I had his card, and when I saw that, I was like, this is going to be interesting, because I had in my mind I was going to move halfway across the country. But then as life unfolded and my birthday came and I saw that event, sure enough, pointed to that I was supposed to stay here, and then his mother is the one that got sick, so I've been taking care of him more and more. And it's like, so I was prepared. I knew that somehow I would have to pay attention to him, and so I was already prepared. And then when these events unfolded, it was easy then to just go with the energy of it, okay? So that's an example of just really being able to help one destiny unfold, or not to fight and to go with the flow. And it sure makes life a lot easier. Imagine if I had it set in my mind that I was going to do this thing and then the opposite happened. You know, I could have been stewing for days or months, but I didn't, because I had this knowledge and I just decided to follow it. And it's actually been a very good thing, okay? And that's the other thing I'm seeing, that when I do just harmonize and align with what's present, things just unfold so much easier, and there are just wonderful things that kind of come out of this. So that's an example of how this system can be used to help us unfold our destiny. Okay, so today is August the 3rd, and today is someone born today, and we're in Leo territory, so this person would be born a Ten of Diamonds. And because it's a Leo, the planetary ruling card is the same as the birth card. So this is like someone who would have a double dose of a Ten of Diamonds. That means you'd see an exaggerated version of the Ten of Diamonds. Anytime you want to see an exaggerated version of a card, then see that person who has that birth card and that they're a Leo, because their birth and ruling cards will always be the same, and there'll be an exaggerated version of that. You know, Leos are like, they like, you know, to perform and to be the center of attention anyway, so they're really kind of an exaggerated version anyway. But so anyway, a Ten of Diamonds. So someone born a day would actually be a person who would actually be very blessed, but they may have a hard time knowing that they are blessed. They sit in the center of the grand solar spread, so they sit in the Jupiter column horizontally and in the Jupiter column vertically. They sit smack dab, the most blessed card of the deck, but they often don't know it. And one of the reasons why they don't know it is because they have a hard time receiving. And one of the reasons they have a hard time receiving is because, well, 10, if you go 1 plus 0, 10, is actually a 1 in numerology if you minimize it down. 1, so 1 is the most masculine card. So 10s and 1s kind of act the same. So aces and 10s act the same, and it's very masculine, okay? And they also have two aces in their life spread and another 10 in their life spread. So they have a lot of masculine energy. And in order to receive, you have to kind of be, you know, stop and have some kind of feminine qualities. You have to be able to receive. And so this is one of the problems with the Ten of Diamonds, is they're the most blessed, but they often don't experience it because they have to learn how to actually receive. And also aces and tens, they like to be doing. And so they think they'll have to do everything themselves. And so it's hard for them, you know, sometimes to just allow other people to do for them, or to allow life to be good to them. They're sort of like they're lone rangers in a certain sense. And this can actually hinder them for the reasons I just named. And they're a 10 and they're a diamond. A 10 is anything that's big. It enhances everything. And diamonds is values and money. So they have an innate business sense, and they do have the ability to make money and be successful in all kinds of fields, okay? But And even though, because Aces also love to be alone, Aces and Tens, they love to be alone, but they also love to be the center of attention because they are in the middle of the grand solar spread. And so they make good performers, and especially this person because they'd be a Leo. Leos are great performers, so great teachers, great performers, anything where they're in front of an audience, okay? And in relationships, though, because of this aloneness and this lone ranger and all this one energy, they can also be very self-centered and somewhat kind of high-strung because of a Queen of Clubs first karma card. So for this reason, they're going to have some challenges in the area of relationship, okay? But also because of this Queen of Clubs first karma card, they have a gift of intuition if they are able to allow themselves to stop and receive. And when they're able to do that, they're able to access their intuition and also their self-mastery of their Queen of Spades karma card, then they'll be guided by a higher fulfillment, and they'll be able to relax and to receive all the blessings that's there for them. Okay, so that is the little lesson about the card system and a little information about someone who might be born today. And I'm going to unmute the call and see if there's anyone on the line who is would like a reading. Hello? Anyone on the line?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, it's Jennifer. Since I've already had a reading from you, I don't want to take space that someone else might want, but if no one else is stepping up, I'll go for it.
Okay.
I'd be happy to share the time if you want to check further.
Okay. So is there anyone else on the line who'd like a reading? Going once, going twice.
Hi, Clarissa. It's Denise Lampron. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hey, Denise.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm really good.
Cool.
I'm enjoying listening to your teleclass today, especially the Ten of Diamonds. I really learned a lot about receiving.
Ah.
That made a big difference. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Jennifer, go ahead. I've had a reading with Clarissa, too, so.
Okay. Well, we've got 20 minutes, so I can do 10 minutes on each of you like that, so.
Okay. Well, the thing, I hope this isn't too complicated, but the thing that I would like to ask about is my relationship with my partner's daughter, which is troubled, and what the timing might be for us to right now. Is this a time to just let it alone or what? And if there is a time coming up that things might be able to shift, or how I might hold the situation for my own growth and healing.
Mm-hmm.
And her birth. So is that too much for 10 minutes?
Well, let's see. Let's see where we go. Let me see what I can find. And and you're Ace of Spades, Nine of Spades. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So you're born February 11th. Okay, so 11th. And what is the birth date of the person in question?
It's February 13th, 1978.
Okay, so she would be 32?
Yeah.
Okay. So just for if people are listening and they're curious about that birthday, that person is a Queen of Diamonds and a Five of Diamonds, so she's a double diamond. You're a double spade, and she is a double diamond. Okay, Five of Diamonds. Okay, and let me see what period you're in. You're in your Jupiter period. Okay, this is supposed to actually be the most blessed period. But sometimes, you know, what I found in my Jupiter period, because I'm in my Jupiter period now, and I've had some interesting things come up, is I think, you know, and I'm learning more and more about the system every day, but I had this impression, oh, Jupiter, that's supposed to be the most blessed period, it should be the easiest. Well, I've discovered that things may come up in the Jupiter period that may seem really challenging and difficult, but what I discovered is that when you're past whatever that challenge is, it really opens you. It's something that we've probably been wanting to clear for the longest time. And so something will happen that will give us the opportunity to clear it. And once it's cleared, it's like it's huge. And then it opens up all this space. And so in some sense, I feel like it's a big Jupiter blessing. But it may take a while to really get to experience that. Okay, so let me just take a look at your cards here and see what's going on here. Eight of Diamonds. Well, in your Ace of Spades spread, she's your challenge card, okay? And challenge cards there are five cards or six cards that we have all year long that affect the whole year. There are cards that affect certain periods, and then there are cards that affect the whole year. And the challenge card is one of the cards that's in play the whole year, and she is your challenge card for the year. So I would say don't be surprised if this may come up again. Like, you may go through several cycles of working through whatever this challenge is with her. So, and each time, you know, you'll get closer and closer to resolving it. But I'm just saying if it comes up again, don't take it as that, you know, you've done anything wrong and you haven't fully done it. It sounds like there's probably layers to it. And you have a Four of Clubs, a result. So the challenge is always connected to whatever the result card is, and you got the Four of Clubs result. And the Four of Clubs means satisfaction in your mind, peace of mind. So you're going to have this challenge, and by the end of this, by your next birthday, you're going to have satisfaction and peace around mind around this issue. Okay? So that's good news. It's just that you have to live through it, okay? And so let me see what's going on in your Nine of Spades. Well, you have an Eight of Spades challenge, so you do have the power. So it's really about you focusing and developing the power to actually work through whatever this is going to be with her. So you have things that you need to work through that, and you've got a couple of aces going on right now in your Nine of Spades ruling card, so that leads to me to believe that there's something new that's going to come up, or some new information. Ace of Clubs would be new information, and Ace of Hearts is, you know, would be self-love, new relationship. So from what you're saying, I'm suspecting that this is going to be an opportunity for you, like as you continue to work with this, new information about yourself is going to be revealed to you. And you're going to be able to use this information to actually then process more so you can come to a deeper relationship of self-love for yourself, okay? Because ultimately that's what this is about, you know. I mean, it's great to have a desire, you know, to have this relationship, to have the best relationship that you can with your family, because she's part of your family. You know, she's your partner's daughter. She's part of the family, and so that is a great desire. But ultimately, whatever this is bringing up in you is really a mirror for you to see, you know, where it is that you can continue to expand and to grow. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Okay. So I'm seeing this this you coming into a deeper love for yourself. And as you come into a deeper love for yourself, you can come into a deeper love for her. And it doesn't even mean that, you know, you would be doing something towards her, taking some action towards her, but just you and coming into a deeper love for yourself actually creates the space for there to be a shift and a change with her.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates, she'll be able to feel that whenever she is ready to do something different. You know what I mean? So it's not about even that, you know, that you have the idea that you're going to, you know, change it, but you change it in yourself, and then then there's just an availability. And when and if she's ready for it to be different and she can participate in the creation of a new one, then you've done your part. there's a space, and she'll be able to feel that more on an energetic level than you even having to voice anything, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, you know, and it's really interesting. I actually know Jennifer. She's a dear friend of mine, and I know that her partner happens to be an Ace of Clubs, and his card is in both of these spreads in the same period, okay? So this leads me to just know that on some level, it's even it's also, too, about your relationship with your partner, okay? And you doing this is actually you kind of strengthening your relationship with him. Your ability to love yourself is not only going to affect your relationship with his daughter, but it's going to affect your relationship with him, and that might even change how she relates to you.
Uh-huh.
You get my meaning?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. So I would say you got an 8 and Jupiter, so that's a lot of power and focus. So I would focus. I would take this period and just really focus on really finding and discovering whatever identities that are within you that's causing you pain.
Whether or not they seem to be related to her.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Okay, sort of the opposite of the using joy as a focus.
Well,
actually, not the opposite.
No,
related to.
Well, it's continuing. No, you act on your joy. But when you act on your joy, because when you act on your joy, it's going to actually lead you to your next highest joy. But if your next highest, if what you need for your next highest joy is to resolve a pattern, it's going to come up.
Right. Exactly.
So you do follow your joy, and then you trust that whatever comes up in the process of following that joy is something for you to work through, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's actually giving you the opportunity to expand even more to take in more joy. But it's like saying, oh, okay, you've bumped up against a limit, a self-created limit, which is, you know, these identities and these resistances that we've been talking about for the past month. And so you have tools to work with that, and you do that, and you work with that. And then once you resolve that, then you choose the next highest thing. That's how the process works. So it's not that things
right.
don't come up. You just work with them, and then you do that, and then you choose the next thing. But when you know that in the process of that, whatever is unlike joy that comes up is an opportunity because it's giving you information about yourself so that you can process it, so you can work it, so that you can then continue to choose more joy, okay? So I hope I said that in an understandable way. It's like a tongue twister.
Yeah.
Okay. So whatever comes up, so it sounds like, you know, what's coming up with her is bringing up things, and you want to work with that. And then if something else comes up, that's when you work with that. And when we learn to really see that this, it's all really about our out-picturing of what's going on within us, it'll begin to become less and less about the situation or the person or the circumstance. It'll become more and more our joy, actually, to begin to be with these, quote, challenging or negative identities because we know that in them we're actually making more space for love and joy in our lives. I mean, I've just been coming to that now where it's becoming like my joy. Like, it sounds strange, but it was like it's my joy. And I even last week and I think I'm using it wrong. I don't know. It's either invoke or evoked. I invoked the situation that I knew would trigger me. That sounds crazy. But I did because I knew. I was like, I wanted to really get to the bottom. I really wanted to do as much work as I could on this identity that I knew had been there for a long time. And I really wanted to get it. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this thing. And I know if it doesn't turn out this way, it's going to invoke something in me. But I don't care because I want to get it. I want to do it. So, I mean, you know. It just becomes a part of the process, and there becomes to be a certain beauty in, you know, that, because after all, we did create everything. And the energy that we use to create that, I mean, what we create, what's the saying? I use this a lot. What I can create, I can discreate, okay? No creation is bigger than that which created it, which is the bigger me that created it. No creation is bigger than it, and what I can create, I can discreate. And in that process, we discover, we get to experience the power of who we really are. We created it. When we own it, the good thing about owning our creations is that, well, whatever I created, I had the power to create it, now I have the power to dissolve it, to de-energize it, to discreate it, whatever, to transform it, whatever word we want to use, we get to experience who we truly are, and we are the power and the presence of God. Oh, boy, I just went off on a tangent, but...
Well, it was your joy to do so, and... And it's joyful to hear.
Yeah, and let me see what you got coming up in Sam. So yeah, that's what I would say. But you will have peace of mind as you at the end of this, all of this. So it's going to be so worth it. And in your nine of spades card, your long range card is the nine of clubs, and that's the letting go of mental ideas. So it may be, you know, also. Part of this process is, you know, letting go of what we thought we knew and, I mean, you know, and ways of thinking that no longer serve us. Like they've kind of reached the end of their cycle and they've come to a completion. So, so I would say just continue to, and you got a four hearts environment. That means family and relationships are going to be a blessing this year, and they are a blessing this year. So I would also just really, even though you're having this challenge, I would just really still appreciate, you know, your partnership and your friendships and the family you do have, and just kind of go to a deeper level of trust in how things are unfolding, you know. Because we never know what anything is for, and I think we have in our minds when something happens and it triggers us, I think we kind of go into scenarios about what we think it means. But I think if we can just deal with what's in front of us in terms of what gets triggered, as I said before, and just trust in the process and trust that ultimately everything that's happening is happening because we are completely loved by life. And life is really steering us towards that which can really be the fulfillment of our dreams if we would just let go of what we think it is and just do the work of de-energizing those things that we created that no longer serve us and then just follow our joy all the other times. Okay, that's my prescription.
Thank you.
Okay, Jennifer, I'm going to just see if Denise wants to say anything or have a question. For the rest of the class. But thank you so much. I appreciate you. Love you.
I love you too.
Denise, you still there?
Oh, how do I? And I mute myself now?
You can do four star.
Okay.
Clarissa?
Denise? Hi.
That was really, really profound, what you gave to Jennifer. I feel like I've had an upliftment, and listening to you, I was realizing how important it is for me to continue to be reinforced with the we are loved by life and that we are headed toward the fulfillment of our dreams if we just let go, and all the other times just follow our joy. You know, and that is such a prescription for living a fully expressed life, you know, and I think I'm going to put that up where I can see it every day, because that's it, you know. And it does involve trust, and it does involve dissolving our false beliefs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, great. That's a wonderful reflection.
Really lovely. I got so much out of it. I feel lifted. So thank you.
Well, you're completely welcome. And have you been following your joy more lately?
Well, I go to bed saying, "Isn't it wonderful?" Because I like that phrase too.
Uh-huh.
And that somehow gives me access and entree to all the possibilities of life. And joy is a very high vibration. And I'm so interested, I'm so ready to evolve to the place where I'm constantly vibrating in joy, no matter what's going on around me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that's my quest these days, and to be as creative as I can and not let anything block that.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it happen. Just let it flow. That's where I am these days. And using, as you know, I had a wonderful reading with you, and I was in a Venus period, and I did as much as I could to express my Venusian desires. And my intention is to have that act as an anchor as I open into other periods, you know, so that that doesn't go away, that that's sort of a baseline for everything that I do.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That's really beautiful, Denise.
Thank you. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah.
And so are you complete with that? Was there anything else you wanted to say? Okay, cool. I think in closing, what I'd like to really express to people who will be listening, people who are on the line now, people who will be listening later, is that this is a process,
mm-hmm.
and I want people to really be gentle with themselves and to love themselves through it, and especially in the moments when we're triggered into these negative identities and negative patterns. And, you know, because they don't feel good. And it takes a while to learn how to surf these very intense emotions, you know, even the beautiful ones. I mean, I think things happen, and a lot of times we can't even take in the beautiful ones because we haven't really learned how to be with such intense emotions. So it takes a while to learn to kind of ride life like this, to just go with the ups and the downs and to see it all as beautiful, and just to be able to manage your energy, as Denise was saying, no matter what's happening around me, that I get to choose who I'm being in every moment. Well, that takes skill, it takes practice, and everything that I have been, you know, sharing with everyone, it's just more information and more tools to help you develop skills to do that. And I have to say, just from my own experience, I'm getting better and better at it, but I, you know, still get triggered, and, well, I think it's going to be a lifelong process, but I get triggered, and I now more quickly to embracing it,
mm-hmm.
to accepting it as it is, to do what I know to do with it, and to love myself through it, and to know there's no such thing as perfection. We already are perfect in the eyes of God, but in terms of being a human, we came down here to, you know, not be this perfect or this God-like being that we were created to be. We came down here to be the opposite of that. And so when we know and embrace the beauty of that and what this counter-creating our essence, the opportunity that it's giving us to then expand back and know ourselves, I mean, then it's all beautiful. And it can take, you know, some time to really begin to really feel that, not just think it, but to really feel it. And it can take some time to begin to really feel that life really is on our side, okay?
Yeah.
And when we forget life's not, then we just forget and we remember again. So it's even to just embrace that. So that's what I want to say is, people, please be gentle with yourselves, love yourselves. When you need help, call a friend, you know, get coaching or whatever it is you need to do, but you're not alone and you can't do it alone. And we're not built that way. We're community-based creatures. We need each other. So there you go. And I really hope that people got a lot out of this class. Like I said, it's my favorite topic, following your joy, and I feel like I've just kind of been learning how to really do that, and I've just been learning to trust it. So, my wish is that you all will learn to trust it and really begin to experience the beautiful synchronistic events that will happen when you do that, and how you'll just continue to, you know, create more and more joy for yourself. So with that, thank you. Many blessings to everyone, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you, Carissa. Blessings to you.
All right. Bye, Denise.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Jennifer. And anyone else. Okay. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.